chapter 13.
And yes, you guessed it right. Consideration of the kingdom. But you know what? This is the last message. I'm not promising I'll never preach on the kingdom again. But on this series, this is the last message. And I don't mean this in a bad way. I've been looking forward to this message, okay? Because in this study and just looking at all the scriptures and everything about the kingdom and asking for the Lord's help and blessing in the messages and such, I've looked forward to getting to this one because, I mean, I've been blessed by it. I hope that I am able, the Lord to help me to convey it well to where you can be blessed by it, not because of me, but because of the Lord. But it just really thrilled me and was a great help to me in this study and this consideration of the Lord's kingdom. We pick it up here. Let me get in the right chapter. Yeah, okay. I'm here with you. Okay. Let's read this passage in Matthew chapter 13. There, towards the end of the chapter, verse number 51. Matthew 13, verse 51. And Jesus saith unto them, his disciples, "Have ye understood all these things?" They say unto him, "Yea, Lord, yes." Verse 52. Then said he unto them, "Therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you, Father, for your promise to meet with us today. And Lord, we thank you for your blessings in the services already. You're so good to us, Lord. We thank you for the church that you've placed us in. And Lord, having saved us, you didn't leave us on our own. But Lord, you've been pleased to show us about your church. And Lord, the collection, the assembly of your people, Lord, that we can be together with to worship you together, to worship you collectively, to carry out the Great Commission. Lord, to be a bright and shining light and witness to this region that you've placed us in. Lord, thank you for that. And we thank you, Father, for your word and Lord, how you speak to us. You haven't left us without guide, but you have given us the Bible. And Lord, you've shown us great and wonderful things out of your word. And I praise your name for that. Lord, I praise your name that you are God, and beside you there's none other. And Lord, that in your greatness and your majesty and your magnificence, Father, you've been pleased to have to do with the likes of me. And Lord, that you've saved my brothers and sisters in Christ also. And Lord, you've touched us and made us your own. I praise your name for it. Help us now that we might worship you. Help us, Lord, we might rejoice in the wonderful things that you've given to us and showed us and blessed us with. And Lord, that we might be built up in your most holy faith. We might be encouraged in you and strengthened. And Lord, we pray for those that are here this morning that are not saved. Lord, that you would touch them. Lord, that you might reveal Christ unto them as you did unto us. And Lord, that you might convict them and show them the truth out of your word, Father, that without Christ they are lost and undone and without hope. But Lord, with Christ, they can have it all. Lord, salvation of their souls, forgiveness of their sins, everlasting life with you, and Lord, to be made one of your children. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here we have this, here towards the end of the chapter, and the Lord asked the disciples here in verse number 51, "Have you understood these things?" And we've been in this chapter before, Matthew chapter 13, and it will just kind of back up here and walk through it to kind of get in line with the context. There in verse number 2, there's great multitudes that are gathered to the Lord. He tells about a sower that goes out and sows. And he says in verse number 9, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And then the disciples in verse 10, they said, "Why do you speak to him in parables?" And he said in verse number 11, we've looked at this verse, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." And that's the Lord speaking to his people, namely in the context of this passage, speaking to his children that are in his church. He's talking to his disciples that he has brought to himself and from which and by which and with which he is building his church. But he says to them it's not given. And so it's a great blessing that we have. And then he talks about here in verse number 12, a notable passage. It says those that have, more will be given. And that's the way it is when the Lord saves us. It's just going to get better for us. There might be struggles and hardship in this life, terrible things maybe even that we might go through. But I tell you what, in the end, it's going to be great because we'll be with the Lord forever, our Savior, right? But then those that don't have, it says there in verse number 12 in the latter part, those what they have will be taken away, even that which he hath. And as we've seen in other passages, that which he seemeth to have, even life itself. That's the reason that there are those that are at the great white throne judgment of God and are cast into the lake of fire. The Lord calls that and declares unto us that that is the second death, physical death, but then eternal spiritual death there. Oh, what a terrible, terrible thing. And then he talks about the people and about prophecies and what Isaiah prophesied and about dull hearing and closed eyes and ears and such as that. And then he tells about the parable of the sower, who the principles are in that, what's been done in it, and how it is that the Lord sows in good ground and such. And then he gives another parable in verse number 24. And then he tells about that. He tells about the tares that are there and such as that. And then he tells another parable about the mustard seed, which we've looked at. In verse number 33, the parable of the leaven in the meal and how it is that the gospel spreads. Okay, I believe that that's what that's telling, and the kingdom of the Lord is growing. And then he tells here a little blurb in verses 34, 35. It says, he only spoke to the multitudes in parables. But there's things that are revealed unto the people of God that have been kept secret, okay, from way, way back. And those things have been revealed to us. What a blessed time to live in. And this time that we live in, we got the Word of God, we got what the Lord tells the multitudes, and then he tells the explanation of the disciples, and even the instruction beyond that to the disciples and such. This has been given unto us. It's a wonderful thing. And so then he tells about the parable of the tares. He tells about the end of the world and how it's going to be in regards to sinners. And then in verse number 44, let's take a look at this. The kingdom is likened to treasure that's in a field. Remember about that one? And then in verse number 45, the treasure is like a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Remember we addressed that. Then in verse number 47, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net, right? The gospel net that catches of every kind. And then he tells again about the end of the world. And then about the furnace of fire in verse number 50. And then he asks, have you understood all these things? Well, have you? Have you understood all these things? Well, we've understood some of them, haven't we? And I pray with the Lord's help, may we are blessed of the Lord, and not by any ability of me or any ability of the teachers that we have, but the Lord's blessing upon us. Our seeking His face to understand His Word more, that He will put it together for us and will draw it out unto us and bring it to us, that we will understand more. I've been blessed by the look-see in it. I hope that you have. And then he says, they say, yeah, we understand. And of course, they understand by the explanation of the Lord. We need the Lord to be able to show it to us, to open our eyes that we might understand the Scriptures. We need that. We need to pray for that. And I trust and believe that the Lord has blessed us with that because of His good pleasure. And then he says this in verse 52. Then said he unto them, they said, yeah, do you understand? Yes, we understand. Or, yeah, Lord, we understand. He said unto them, therefore, because of that, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. You ever wonder about that passage? I've wondered about that passage. You know, why would he say that there? What's he getting at? Well, with the Lord's help, let's try to break that down here this morning. I asked that question, and the Lord asked the question, have you understood all these things? Well, if these answers no, and you're a child of God, ask Him to help you understand it. I do that often with reading passages and portions of the Scripture. Say, Lord, I don't understand what that means. I need your help to understand what that means. But if the answer is yes, then praise God, rejoice in it, and enjoy the blessing of the Lord showing us about things in the Scripture, because when He shows us things and truths out of His Word, it does nothing but help us being the Lord's children, right? Amen? It just gives us confidence in the Lord. More points and subjects and things revealed unto us in which we can praise His name in. Do you thank the Lord for what He shows you? Do you think about things that the Lord reveals in His Word to you and has revealed unto you during the course of the years that you've been saved, the time that you've been saved? Do you thank God for those things? Do you muse on those things? Not amuse, but muse. Think about them. Just kind of chew on them. Now, they're blessings from God. They tell us about the work and operation of the Lord. Here He says, you say you understand. He says, therefore every scribe. Why would He say that? Therefore every scribe. Why does He refer to a scribe here? What was it about the scribes? Well, what did a scribe do? We don't have scribes anymore. You know, a lot like they did in that day. There was no printing press in that day. And the Word of God, the oracle of God, needed to be propagated. It needed to be passed on. It needed to be, there's many synagogues at this time and after the captivity. And the Word of God needed to be available for people to be able to read it and hear it and understand it and to be preached and taught from. Well, what did the scribe do? Well, he took a copy that was known to be good and he copied it over. And he checked it. And other scribes checked it. And there was rules. Brother Philip Thomas, when he was with us some time ago, he talked about that, about the diligence that had to be. No, he didn't talk about that when he was here, I don't believe. But he's got there's a study that he's put together on the King James Bible, and he tells there's a section in there about the work of the scribes and how errors were dealt with and errors were corrected. And if there was too many errors, then they just take that new copy and ditch it, and the scribe would start over. What is it about the scribe? The scribe was in the Word of God constantly, wasn't he? Every day. Well, during the work week, that's where the scribe was there dealing. That was his work, dealing with the Word of God. They knew the Word of God. Interesting references in the Scriptures about the scribes. The Lord Jesus Christ said in Mark chapter 9, or they said unto Him, they asked Him, Jesus, in Mark 9:11, why say the scribes that Elias must first come? Because, see, when you're writing, you know, they say that to be able to retain something, if you want to retain something, write it down. It helps us. There's something about that work. And writing something down that we hear, writing that down, it helps us to retain it. I find that true in my life. I found that true in my life. I'm not as good as I used to, but when I was young, I was able to remember what I'd written on a page easier than I could remember what was said. Okay? And so it helps us. It helps us put it in there. Some of you like to take notes, and that's good. I like to take notes at times during preaching and teaching. It helps me concentrate. It helps me keep focused, and I can go back and take a look at things. Helps us retain that. See, they came and asked the Lord this question. Why say the scribe? Well, see, the scribes were there, and they would at times hone in on that little, not hidden scripture, but that scripture maybe wasn't popular or wasn't read all the time, and they'd see that little piece that was in there. And it was the scribes that said that. It was the scribes that were referred to. Why is it that the scribes say that a lie? It's what the scribes had seen in the Scripture, and they put together that one would come, Elijah, or in the power of Elijah, we know, John the Baptist. And it was the scribes that saw that. And the people knew that. Okay? And the scribes did teach the Word of God also. In Mark chapter 12, on down a few pages, Jesus answered and said in verse number 25, while He taught in the temple, how say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? They saw that piece of passage in there in the Psalms. And they were able to come to that conclusion that Christ is the Son of David. And the Lord asked them about that. Other passages in the New Testament, in the Gospels, John chapter 8, turn over here, in John 8. John chapter 8. And these guys, man, they're a mess indeed. John chapter 8. Look who's leading this effort here. In verse number 3 of John 8, "And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us." They should have known better. Where's the man? That's what the law of Moses said. And what the Scripture said, and the scribes knew that. They were looking to trick the Lord. They were looking for occasion with Him. They were looking for something, and then they, in the midst of trying to catch the Lord in His words and His doctrine, they didn't want to get their uncle or cousin or brother or friend or neighbor in trouble, did they? They brought the woman, but they didn't bring the man. The law of God said to bring the man too. And the Lord dealt with them in that. But it was the scribes there that were referenced to and that was known that they knew what the Scripture said. In Luke chapter 20, it says, "And certain of the scribes answering said, Master, thou hast well said," verse 40 of Luke 20, "after that they durst not ask him any question at all." The same thing happened in Mark 12. Let's take a look over there. It seems like in some cases that the scribes were the last ones to have at Jesus. Man, this man knows his Bible. We can't fiddle around with him because he knows the Word of God. And so maybe a man of position, maybe a Pharisee or a Sadducee or one that sat on the Sanhedrin, they weren't equipped enough to deal with this man that knew the Word of God so well. How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Isn't that what they said about Jesus? And so what'd they do? Well, they sent in the big guns, the scribes. They've been busy a big chunk of their life writing over the Word of God. And so they send these scribes to the Lord. In Mark chapter 12, verse number 28, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked, Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answering, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like..." The guy wasn't bargaining for this. "Namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." Listen, "And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." How did he know that? Because he'd been in the Word of God, and the game is up with the Lord. And what's the Scripture go on to say? "And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question." Well, even the big guns couldn't trip him up. The ones that were in the Scripture all the time. Remember how it was in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ and those wise men that came to visit the Lord at the time or near the time of his birth. It was some time before they actually got there. It wasn't at the time of his birth. It was some time after. But in Matthew chapter 2, we see here in the Lord Jesus Christ is born in Bethlehem. And let's read it here in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." He's seeing this as a threat, very paranoid man. "And when he had gathered all the chief priests..." Those are the leadership, the chief priests. And what's it say? And the scribes, right? And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And they go ahead and quote the passage, because it was the scribes that knew. So why is it that the Lord, in our passage there in Matthew chapter 13 that we're considering, why is it that he's referring, he says, therefore every scribe? Well, I believe it's because a scribe is one that's noted and known to be one that's been exposed and immersed and always working and looking to and dealing with the Word of God. Consider about the apostles. They said, we need, and I meant to look up the scripture, it's there in Acts, we need to not be serving tables and taking care of the ministration of the widows. That needs to be done. But we don't need to be doing that, because we need to give ourselves to prayer and to fasting and studying the Word of God is what's implied there. They went from a situation of not, they went from a situation of being instructed the Word of God in the synagogue to being ones that would seek out the Word of God and in the Word of God for themselves. Isn't that the pattern that we see in the New Testament Scriptures? The people of God are to be in the Word of God. Well, Brother Jim, I don't know how to study. I tell you what, read it. Brother Jim, I don't know how to put together an outline. I'm not saying put together an outline. I'm saying consume the Word of God. Read it. Listen to it. Put it in you somehow. Because that's the way it needs to be with the children of God. Get discouraged about things that are going on in the world and the things that you see on the news. I tell you what, break out your Bible and read it. Break it out and read it. Read it. Every scribe. Therefore, every scribe which is instructed in the kingdom of heaven, not just a scribe that was there and would do his job, okay? Because we can do that. We did that in school, or at least I did that in school. I just did what I did without letting it sink in. I just got it done. But there, I think it's a key thing that is instructed. Do you want to learn? Do you want to know? A scribe that was writing there and saying, ah, this connects over there with what I was writing in last month. Ah, this gives more clarity to what this other book had to say. That is instructed, that's looking to receive it, that's looking to be built up in it. This word instructed in the Greek is talking to about being a pupil, the people of God. A brother said it recently at a meeting that we went to. We need to be students of the Word of God. You claim Christ as your Savior? You need to be a student of that book. The pastor can't do it for you. The Sunday school teacher can't do it for you. You need to do it. I need to do it. We need to be pupils. This word instructed speaks to being enrolling as a scholar. Well, Brother Jim, I never have any expectation of being a scholar. I don't either. I just want to know what God says in His Word. Don't you? And so every scribe that is instructed, you know, we need to know what the Word of God says. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 12, the preacher writes, and further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. That's true. That's true. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Well, you know what? How can we keep the commandments if we don't know them? Amen? How can we obey the Lord if we don't know how we can obey Him? How do we know what the Lord believes? So we can believe it ourselves. Right? That's what the Word of God reveals to us, is what the Lord believes. that line of truth. Brother Stephen was talking about that this morning in the Sunday school class. It tells in the Old Testament, I believe in Jeremiah is one place, and maybe Isaiah, the Lord sets the plummet line of truth, and it's straight. And it doesn't vary. What God says is the way that it is. He's established it. And we need to know it too. We need to know it too, because we're going to be accountable for it, aren't we? And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the apostle speaking to the young preacher, the young pastor in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. Well, that's a good passage for Brother Jim. No, it's a good passage for you too. Brethren, you that are here and qualified, how do you know that the Lord might not call you into His ministry? Amen? Yeah, you don't know that. You can't say that He's not going to. Study. You're a man, you've got a house. You're a man, you're looking forward to having a home, a wife and children. We need to be the leaders, the spiritual leaders, the Bible leaders in our families. We need to do that. We can only do so by having the Word of God in us and having it, the Lord taking it and using it in us. We've got to feed upon it. The passage goes on in Matthew 13. It says there in verse 52, then therefore every scribe, one exposed to the Word of God, which is instruction, which is instructed in the kingdom of heaven. You see that? We've had much instruction from the Word of God and on Sunday mornings about the kingdom of heaven. It says here that he's likened to a man that is a householder. What's a householder? Is a householder a servant? Is a householder a slave? No. The householder is one that's been blessed, isn't he? The householder is one that is, that word householder in the Greek is talking about being a head of a family, being the goodman. We hear that reference in the Scripture. The master of the house. This is a man that has been blessed with a position, hadn't he? He's not a servant. He's not a slave. But he has been given that which is his own, hasn't he? He's a householder. He's been a man that has been not a slave or a servant, but rather the owner of the house. In Luke chapter 16, take a look over here. In Luke chapter 16, you know what? We need to believe the Lord and what He gives us. When the Lord saves us, we're reckoned as babes in Christ. But then from being a babe, we're to grow. And when the Lord tells us something new or reveals something new to us, shows us something new, we're taught something new, we need to grab a hold of that and run with it. And then be ready for the next blessing. Because if we don't obey the Lord in that which is least, how can we obey Him in much? It's just kind of like those that would think that, well, I'll be faithful at the end if or when persecution comes. Listen, if you're not faithful now, you won't be faithful then. If I'm not faithful now, I won't be faithful when they, you know, how will it be if it would be that the sheriff would call me and say, you are not allowed to congregate together. We don't allow any in the county, no more congregations, more than five people or your family or whatever. What if that would happen? What will you do? What will I do? What will we do? In Luke chapter 16, verse number 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in least is unjust in much also. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, speaking about the things of earth, the things of life, the things of this world, who will commit to your trust the true riches? You know, if we can't serve the Lord with our stuff, how will we serve Him with our heart? Right? If we can't serve Him with what He's blessed us with, He's given it to us. We've not gained it ourselves. If we can't serve Him with the things of life, how can we serve Him with our heart? How can we be faithful to Him in that? Who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, everything we've been given is really, it's on loan, isn't it? Yeah. Even life itself is on loan. Right? Who shall give you that which is your own? This householder, he's been given that which is his own, hadn't he? He is not the servant, not the slave. He's not even the steward or the chamberlain, right? That would be one of in a household that would be of higher position. But he's the man. He's the owner of the household. He's been blessed with a position and with a blessing in that. It says there in Matthew 13, keep your finger there because we're going to turn back to it. In verse 52, therefore every scribe, one that's immersed in the Word of God, which is instructed under the kingdom of God, is like the, we've been looking in the book of Proverbs, one that desires to be, do you desire to be instructed or are you and I resistant to being instructed? Do we want the truth of God dwelling in us? Or we say, no, I want my way or the way of the world. I want another way. I want some other. Do we harden our hearts? Do we steal up and say, well, my family's way or this way or the other way is the way that I want. I don't want the way of the Lord. Or we say, no, Lord, teach me. Teach me. Change me. Help me. Conform me to the image. Conform me to the way and the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make me like Him. How is it? The scribe that's instructed, he's instructed in unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man. The parallel here, so that scribe that's instructed and receives that instruction about the kingdom of heaven is like unto a householder which bringeth forth out of his treasure. He's got some treasure. And when we're talking about spiritual things in the kingdom of heaven, it's not stuff. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, amen? Salvation of the soul, the Spirit of God living within, and we've got some, I tell you what, some out of this world promises of what the Lord's going to do for us. You know why we know He's going to keep those promises? Because He's never failed on one promise in the past. He's never failed on one prophecy and one promise in the Scripture, has He? And you know what? We get down to it and we evaluate it and we really look at our lives. We know that He has never failed us. Amen? Amen? We may have misunderstood. There may have been times that we would doubt, or we may have not understood, or we would even quarrel with God. But if we'll be honest, we'll know that the Lord has never failed us. He's never left us, has He? He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Out of His treasure, out of His wealth. When you think about your wealth, what do you think about? You think about what you got there in the bank account? What you got in that chest underneath the crawl space or in the attic or down in the cellar or the basement. You think about that account over there at this investor or that investor or the other investor. When you think about your wealth, what kind of wealth do you think about? Do you think about wealth on this earth or do you think about spiritual wealth that's eternal? The wealth here that this householder has, which bringeth forth out of his treasure, what's it say? Things new and things old. The scribe that's instructed to the kingdom of heaven is like a householder, a man that's been blessed, that brings things out of his treasure, out of his wealth, out of his spiritual wealth, things new and things old. You got some mementos? You got some things in your life just maybe you got a yearbook from high school or college. Maybe you got something that your parents or your grandparents gave you when you were a certain age. Or maybe there's some token of something that a great event in your life, and you've got that. You know, we keep those things. You know, they gave you a service pin or a watch or something at the place that you work for putting in so many years. We've got mementos, trophies. Maybe that we've been given. Things, mementos that we have. You'll go back and pull out that box. Open that up. You pull that out. brings back some good memories, doesn't it? Maybe it's a thing that you've kept. Maybe it brings back bad memories. But we have those things. We pull them out. You know what? And maybe value-wise, it's not worth anything at all or much at all. But to us, it's worth something, isn't it? I'm not a very sentimental fellow, but I do understand sentiment, okay? And so maybe you've got something that was given to you. I've got a silver dollar that my grandmother gave to my mom for me when I was just born. And it's like 1800s, early 1900s, something like that. You know, and I've kept that. And that I think about Mamaw when I pull that out. You know, and that's old. Well, I'm not that old, but it's old, okay? You know what I'm saying? Or maybe there's something in recent times that was given, or something that you know, our kids do make art for us and things, and we take that maybe and tuck that away. And that's newer. And we pull that out. And we're blessed by it, aren't we? Yeah. Memory of a loved one that's passed on, or such as that. Memories from long ago. Well, how about when we're talking about that spiritual? Don't we have, or do you have, that which you pull out of your spiritual wealth? Things that the Lord showed you and taught you long time ago. I tell you what, when you bring it out and you consider it, it's good, isn't it? It's a blessing from God. Maybe there's something that the Lord has taught you here just recently. You think about that. Maybe you're thinking about that more often. Boy, that's a blessing too, isn't it? When the Lord reveals a promise to us, when the Lord reveals a truth out of His Word to us. In our consideration of the kingdom, I tell you what, we've taken a look at many, many things. These things that we have in our spiritual wealth, being a householder ourselves, I trust, that have been blessed of the Lord with wonderful things, a treasure, a wealth in the doctrine and the truth and the promises of God's Word. You know, they speak to us, but there's yet more to be learned, isn't there? And with more to learn about the Lord and what He says in His Word, there's more blessing in that too, isn't there? You know, the Lord's blessed us with things long time ago, recent times. But that speaks to us about there's yet more to learn, and there'll be a blessing with those things too, won't they? Our consideration of the kingdom, by knowing the truth regarding the kingdom and these things that we've looked at, doesn't that give you peace? Think about the current political situation. I mean, that's a train wreck, isn't it? That's a mess. You know what? I know that it was ordained of God for Barack Hussein Obama to be president of the United States this year. I know that. And it wouldn't be our choosing. We should have never chosen. But it's ordained of God that it should be. I can rest in that. Can't you? Well, Brother Jim, it might be tough. He might make things hard on us. Yeah, the Lord knows all about that. He knows how to deliver us. But you know what? If we're not delivered out of His hand, we will be delivered, won't we? Isn't that what the Hebrew children said? One way or another, we're being delivered. Amen? And knowing about these things that we've considered, you know, think about what's going on with Israel. And it is so that because of our administration and the win of our president in the election, you know, the Hamas and those Muslim organizations and those that are against Israel, they're just emboldened. They're emboldened. And that's the reason they've started these attacks there from Gaza and such as that. They're emboldened. They don't believe that we will do anything as a nation. But you know what? Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Amen? Amen? See? And so we have peace with the Lord. We have the blessing of peace, knowing that we can rest in Him. You know, we've considered that there is a kingdom, right? We know that. We've considered that there's a gospel or a message to be preached concerning that kingdom. And we in the Lord's church here have been given the commission to do that. We've taken a look about the who of the kingdom. Where do you fit with the who? The who that's in the kingdom. Well, I'm in the kingdom because Jesus saved my soul. And I tell you what, this kingdom will never end. It'll never end. Things of the kingdoms of this earth will end. We've seen that how to be the instruction about how to be great in the kingdom, haven't we? The Lord's economy. Brother Bobby read about it this morning, about the Lord's economy. We've seen about that the kingdom has come unto us. And you that are here and not saved, the kingdom of God has come unto you. Yet one more time in these services, because the Lord's church, preaching His word and His truth about His kingdom, it's come right up there to your face. Will you receive it? Or will you reject it? I pray you receive it. I pray you receive it. And the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ is your Savior. We've seen about seeking and finding the kingdom. We've looked at several parables that deal with aspects of the kingdom, haven't we? We've seen that there's mysteries regarding the kingdom. That's one of the reasons for the Lord's church. He's provided His nation and He provided His church, that these mysteries might be told. Remember, it was the disciples that were told the interpretation of the parables. And we've been given that to tell a lost and dying world about God. Brother Stephen brought out that there's a general revelation to all mankind, but it tells that the general revelation, Romans chapter 1 speaks about it as well as other passages, it tells that God is there. I tell fellows and folks in the jail that I've met, I said, look at your hand. Make it move. That's not an accident. God, you've been created. You've been created. And these mysteries, the general revelation doesn't tell about the gospel, but we've been given the gospel to proclaim. We've been seen this instruction that the kingdom is not coming with great observation yet, but it's one day it's going to, isn't it? Isn't that a blessing? We can see it now, but one day it'll be seen by all. And we're part of it. Not subjects of the kingdom, but children of the kingdom. Amen? We've seen that there's keys of the kingdom and how the Lord has even moved those around, moving them from His nation to His church. We've seen about the Lord's church in the kingdom. We've seen about the blessing of the Holy Spirit within the believer and the Holy Spirit work of the Comforter in the church. We've seen about the giving of talents and the Lord's expectation, haven't we? And what should that do for us? It instructs us. It teaches us. You know, they say that a child needs boundaries. Otherwise, they'll just be haywire. Because they won't, they're too many choices, too much. If they're just on their own, it'll just lead to certain destruction. You know what the Lord's done for us? He's told us what the bounds are. He's helped us and shown us what the truth is. I tell you what, that should do nothing but help us and bless us and praise God for it. We've seen about the marriage supper of the Lamb, amen? And we've seen about the great salvation of God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how we're to proclaim that as His people and as His church. Therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven, and if you will, receives it, is like unto an householder, a man that's been given great blessings, which bringeth forth out of his treasure as wealth. Things new? Oh, boy, that new thing's a blessing. Boy, praise God for that truth. And things old, praise the Lord for that one too. Amen? Remember what the Scripture says in Matthew 7, near the end of the Sermon on the Mount. It says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 29, for He, that is Jesus, taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Our great teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, He has shown us great and marvelous things in His Word. May the Lord help us that we esteem things out of the Word of God right. You know, what do we hear about the Word of God? Well, I've heard it all my lifetime. The Bible is boring. Is a Scripture boring to you? May God help us. You know, I need to get straightened out and get right with the Lord if the Word of God is boring. The Word of God speaks life to us. Blessing. Tells us the truth. Tells us the future. The preaching of the Word of God is boring. I know I can be a bore. I try not to be. I don't want to be. But these are great things. This is the treasure that we have, brothers and sisters. Everything that we have that we can put our hands on is going to pass away. But this treasure that we've been blessed with of the Lord, oh, may the Lord help us to value it. And may the Lord help us, and may we be admonished of the Lord to take it out and pull it out every now and then. Amen? And reminisce about what the Lord's shown us and the good gift He's given us in these things.